The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Did you just rat? Did you just rugrats me?
God.
You rugrats me.
I'm a rugrats boy. Rug
you call me lipshits. That's a rugrats reference.
What's it is rug not rats a rugrats reference.
It is.
I'm not even on, so I wouldn't worry
you
about it.
You are on. I've never seen rugrats.
Never seen rugrats?
No.
Can I just say
no.
That I've got the biggest windscreen in the world?
Why I've said that for years.
Why do you have the biggest windscreen in the world?
I don't know.
Okay, I walk in the Black Forest, episode 279. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Tonight's show, Pete's
new segment, Start Brendan the News.
See, he says it better than I do, actually. That sounds funny when he says it.
TWT in the spotlight. The Ministry, a Little Johnny Says Goodbye, Paul Smoking the Final Edition, Curly's Curse Strikes Again, and a rumble full of sputum. I walk in the Black Forest, waiting for Abbott.
That's nice.
We could, like we could be waiting
2 months at least.
At 3 weeks.
3 weeks or so.
Hi, welcome to the show. If you're waiting for the song, here it is.
I said, hello, how are you, what are you looking for? And he said, get away from me, and jumped back in his Golf and drove off.
That's amazing. So, my question is, at what point did he produce the rubber gloves?
As he turned around to see me standing there for the first time.
Really? Nice. How did that make you feel?
Horny.
Really?
This, ladies and gentlemen, is a walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Oh, good lord, I'm counting that.
And this is show 279. Coming up on our last couple of shows of 2007.
It's been an amazing and tumultuous year. The same year that brought us Kevin Rudd.
Yeah, the first Prime Minister called Kevin.
Is also the year that brought us the reformed Spice Girls.
Yep.
It also brought us...
please don't forget, we got a Ziggy Zigar.
Yes, it brought us Cheerios cereal.
Yeah, it did, yes.
And it also brought us a lot of other things in the... Ian Thorpe on, apparently on drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly being tested for drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so much.
And you on herpes.
I'm not on the entire...
You inject it, you freebase herpes. I've seen you.
I moved as soon as I found out.
How do you freebase herpes?
Well, I don't know, but it's an interesting conjecture.
It's a good thing. Actually, there could be a debate there.
Well,
how you do that.
Well, you are actually right. It is a big year for drugs in sport, isn't it? Because the Tour de France...
Yeah.
Tour de France just goes to show that, you know, every cyclist in the world, regardless of what they're cycling on or in,
except
is drug
Australian Cadel Evans. Do you have proof otherwise? No.
Of course, next year, the Tour de France brought to you by Pfizer.
Yes.
And we'll be looking forward to
it. Well, it has been for the last 30 years.
I know, it's true. They were running out of room for logos.
Yeah.
But next year, I understand they will, in fact, all be wearing the drug company logos. This is my theory. Why don't they actually make the Tour de France... let them take all the drugs they want, but the drug company has to sponsor
them.
That's
the big question, isn't it?
Yeah,
why don't you open all of sport up to drugs?
And just, if they want to fuck themselves up, they can do it.
We can have a whole bunch of new sports as well. The most stoned guy on the planet, for example.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the footy show.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that's
different. I don't know. No, this is a good
idea. What did Melbourne said this week, anyway?
Why don't we use... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why don't we
what
use...
What did the court say?
It's sub-juicy. I don't want to talk about it.
He's just fucking weird. He makes a veiled reference to it.
He goes, I'm going to talk about it. It was in the news. There's a bit of a case involving Sam Newman and his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, she's blonde.
Yeah.
That was 2 months ago, dude.
No, it was in the news this week, actually, because it's come back.
He was reading in an MX.
I was reading in someone's old telegraph.
Yes. They were sleeping under on the side of the road. Now, of course, this is my theory. I would like to see the Tour de France allowed to have as many drugs as they want, but it's open to... The drug company has to sponsor it, so really we get to see if the drugs are any good. It's a perfect testing ground, you can say. And so it's the Pfizer team.
And when you enter, you have to nominate a particular disease that you start with.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, how does that work? Of course, you do performance enhancing drugs.
So you come in. Well, if the drug company's are sponsoring them, and we're testing to see if the drugs actually work, they could come in and say, "Oh, I've got cancer," or "I've got herpes," and they get the drug for that particular disease, and we get to see by the end of going up and down mountains whether they've actually been cured.
Now, of course, we all know that 2 years ago there was the very sad incident. That saw the end to Viagra actually sponsoring the Tour de France when it created too much wind drag.
Boom shakalaka. Yes. Particularly in those tight pants. It's just...
Okay, you didn't need to say that. We all got it.
No, I didn't. That's the thing. I needed to add the exposition.
This is Pete's normal trying to top the original line.
Well, no, I just
without
didn't...
judging that one probably shouldn't have been topped.
See, the trouble is here that I actually...
Do you think there's any...
I don't listen to the original line. I just talk over the top of it. So
the more interesting thing, though, Peter, is do you think there's anything to the fact that we're all wearing German headphones?
No.
I hadn't realised that before.
There we go. It's
very strange. It's an interesting perspective on the world, I think. Now, interestingly enough, this week, the curse of the curly struck again.
What?
I'm not talking about pubic hair.
Another wrestler?
And this is how close it came. You're right. Matt Curley must be looming large.
Did you take out of that, Pete?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Good.
Matt Curley must be looming large somewhere.
He must be looming large somewhere.
Looming large.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
somewhere.
His birthday is coming up, so there could be some looming large.
I'd be a vegetarian.
Who are you, friggin' Sharina?
Yeah.
He's Athena Star Woman all of a sudden.
I am.
So you're... No, I was going to try and do my impersonation of Karen Morgold, but that is just not possible.
Try again. No, seriously. No, try again.
I can't. No.
Yes, he has. Karen Morgold.
Sagittarius.
That was good.
How's that?
That was very good.
That's awesome.
I'm most impressed.
You're going to get laid this week, Sagittarians.
Now, because...
All yours.
Because Matt Curley has...
Like that weird ass song.
Bang it in, put it away.
Because Matt Curley has done it again.
What bugged it in and put it away?
I doubt it.
He's lubed up large. He's on Viagra. He's got to be, doesn't he?
He's going down.
I mean, seriously, Matt showed me his, and seriously, nobody has a dick that large.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do they?
I don't know.
I'm not that experienced.
Not that I've ever seen. No, in my vast experience of these things, that's probably at the top of the tree. Really?
So to speak.
See, that's the mistake we made. We sold his car.
Yeah, exactly. We should have sold Night of Passion and Love.
Not exactly what I was thinking, but yeah.
Can I move on?
Yeah, why not?
It's like the Hamburglers.
It's more like Grimace, but anyway.
What? I mean, seriously, who would steal 18 tons worth of hams that go off in 3 days?
Someone who's really hungry, somebody who wants to freeze them for Oktoberfest.
I mean, the guy at the warehouse said, well, it's obviously not someone who's just packing up for their Christmas lunch.
Well, you can freeze it.
Unless they were having the nation over.
That's true.
It's for the Rudd launch.
It's for the Rudd launch.
It's for the Rudd launch.
Oh, so
I could imagine Julia Gillard down there.
Bro,
to talk about the Rudd slide.
So anyway.
Curley would be there. Link.
So Matt Curley, thank you for that, for bringing it back. Matt Curley must be around because this time tragedy has again hit the wrestling fraternity.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Not again.
Oh, no, not another injury.
Not quite. Even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
Wrestling and reality TV star Hulk Hogan had the embarrassment of learning from a journalist that his wife had filed for divorce.
Nice.
So apparently,
him or someone else?
Was this pre or post the fact that his son has perhaps got himself involved in some legal entanglements?
You mean crashing his car at a high speed and nearly killing someone?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yes, that's true.
You be careful, now, Pete. They could come over and just slam you.
Yeah, pretend to slam you.
I know.
Yeah, pretend to beat you up.
And pretend to break my back over their knee.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, it's
But the scary thing, it must be actually a serious threat because they send you the script first, so you know what they're going to do. There's no dodging
it, right?
There's no
mystery. It's
like, yeah, there's no mystery. You've already got a week or two to prepare for what's going to happen to you.
So I have
that's
a question.
That's a pretty scary thing.
I have a question for you. If we know the American Writers Guild are on strike at the moment.
That's right, yes, of course.
Currently supported by Jay Leno.
Jay Leno, and Jon Stewart is also paying his writers as well.
Really?
So the question I have to ask is...
why don't they pay them to write better?
Well, that's very true. Or why are they paying them at all? No, the question I have to ask is, so is wrestling off as well?
I'm unaware. I am not a follower of the wrestling per se.
It is an interesting question.
I don't know if it's so much written as just... Oh, why don't you know this? Yeah, right.
Script.
Just hit me.
Do that again. That's
really
good. You're right.
That's good. That's what they do.
So you could be a wrestler.
Oh, look,
what would your wrestling name be?
Spit in the image.
I would be, what a
Strong Boy.
Not again. I don't know. I'll think on that. Let me think on it.
Think
okay?
on that, and also think about the fact that Gladiators is coming back.
Mm. Now, my Gladiator name is Skidmark.
Skidmark.
Yeah. I think it'd be Bolt Boy. You'd be Bolt Boy, wouldn't you?
That'd be me. The Bolt from the Blue.
Bolt Chucker.
I'll just stick with Ring Finger, because you could just use that in so many contexts.
You could, very
That's
true.
A stupid name, Pete. Now, no of course, one's ever had the heart to tell you.
No, I know.
It's like, oh, Pete, do you know 10 years ago when you picked that name? It's stupid.
Oh, how wrong you are.
All right. Yeah.
Many people have told me. They're dead.
Now, what happened was, you see, Hulk Hogan...
Did you send him a script?
Whose real name
Yeah, they died of boredom.
Hulk Hogan, whose real name is Terry Bollea.
Oh, that can't be real.
That's really his real name. That's true.
Oh, he's made that up.
He used to be called Terry Ebolai, but apparently people...
He's just made that up.
He did. Now, what
Hulk Hogan, now, I get that. I understand that could be a real name.
But at least it's not French Terrier.
Yeah. Or Terry Bollea. Hello. How you doing?
That's right, I have to think about Richard's joke. I'm completely confused about what the hell he's talking about. Now,
did you just make a dog joke?
Yeah, it is.
Now, good man.
Hulk is, of course, a man of many words. He's loquacious. He's verbose. He's able to enunciate
he's
his
big.
Feeling. He's big.
He's got blonde hair.
He has 18-inch pythons.
I've heard that. So does Matt Curley.
I was going to say that make Matt jealous.
So anyway, this was his response. Thank you for the information. As he said to the reporter from the St. Petersburg Times, my wife has been in California for about 3 weeks. Holy smokes! He said. Wow, you just knocked the bottom out of me. Not the first time for Hulk Hogan. Yeah, baby. Nothing like... Yes, I think a distended rectum looks quite painful.
So his wife filed for divorce, didn't tell him.
That's right.
So what's he going to go and do? Is he going to jump off the ropes?
Well, apparently he's actually going to be doing an Australian version of his show.
What's that called?
Well,
that's an interesting response. Do you think his psychologist told him to do that? What you need to do is an Australian version of your show. You'll get over it really quickly.
Yeah, you've got to work those issues out. Yeah. I think the best place to do that is in Australia.
In Australia.
Anyway, yes, so he's going to be doing...
Well, that's what they said to Joey Fat One.
Yes, of course, Joey Fat One, currently here doing the singing bee.
Joey Fat One?
Joey Fat One used to be...
Any kids on the block or in sync?
No, he was in sync. He was in NSYNC with Justin Timberlake. And he's got his new series, which is entitled The Singing Bee. I don't know if you've seen The Singing Bee on Channel 9.
I've seen a couple of ads, but I haven't really watched it.
And he was flown out here to host The Singing Bee because he was very successful hosting it in the United States.
Mm.
His real name is actually Joe Fatone, but Joe Fat One makes much more funny sense.
Mm. And, of course, Joey Fat One's... major claim to fame, a major appearance is in an episode of Robot Chicken where he turns up and is dismembered by Justin Timberlake.
Nice.
Long live Robot Chicken.
Should I ask what Robot Chicken is?
It's a sketch comedy show done with action figures.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's very funny. You should download them. You like them. I think you like Robot Chicken. Mm. Depending on the episode, very good.
Now, the other thing I needed to mention briefly to you is a new TV series that's
Is
actually...
Matt's Fat One?
No, I'm not going to mention Matt's Fat One. A new TV series that's popped up in the United States this week, last 4 or 5 weeks, but I only saw this week. It's entitled The Next Great American Band.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard about The Next Great American Band.
Isn't that Pop Stars or one of those?
Yeah, it's run by, it's directed by the guy who developed American Idol and Pop Idol in the United Kingdom. He's decided to tour America and find the next great American band.
Right.
They
right.
had about 6,000 entries, all sourced through MySpace, the bastion of
yep.
new rock.
Discovery.
Of Discovery. Every band I saw on the show was shit. All 12 that got through were shit.
So they've right. been pretty successful in finding the next American band then.
But I wanted to talk about the three judges. Now, these are people who have had a great success in developing... I guess a level of skill and a level of success.
Credibility
in the music industry. So let's start with John Resnick.
Right.
Does John Resnick ring any bells with you, do you two?
Nah.
Well, didn't he used to be in the Thingamabobs?
Lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mm. Which had one hit.
Yes.
Which was one of those very power ballady.
It was. Late 90s.
I don't want the world to see me, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, long hair.
Yeah, long hair. All happening. The next guest judge is Sheila E.
Oh, good.
From who was a percussionist with Prince.
Mm. Isn't she the same as Sheena E?
No, it's Sheila E. Different.
Sheila. So a different person.
Because Sheena E was Sheena Easton.
Mm. Wasn't she hot?
She took the morning train there.
She did. I heard that.
Wasn't Sheila E hot?
I don't know.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I think so.
I think she was, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
And
she
finally...
Was really and that's why Prince helped her.
And finally on this troika of magnificence...
Yeah, he's right.
I'd like to bring to the table Ian Dicko Dickinson. Dixon, sorry.
I did hear that he was going over to the States. Now, there's some talk he will be leaving Australian Idol to, in fact, do this show.
Now, of course, this show has been ranking pretty well. It's on the Fox network in the United States.
Right.
It's currently ranking 5 out of 6. The only thing that isn't beating it is the reruns of The Nanny on the WB.
Well, that's a
shame.
Then
again, the WB doesn't win anything.
The show
is how has he done that series as well as Idol?
He would do Idol on the Sunday and the Monday, fly straight over there and be ready for the Monday morning, of course, with the time difference.
You are kidding me.
And then would do his entire do the show, and then fly back on Friday night to be back here for Sunday.
God, that would kill you.
It would to that do that would, every week.
How many weeks was he doing that for?
He did 6 weeks. Now he's in the States permanently, so he can do the last runs of the show. Hosted, by the way, by Dominic Bowden, who was the host of NZ Idol, which is really interesting.
In America?
In America, this is the really interesting because as you know, if any of you have ever watched American Idol, they really do pump. The texting numbers much more strongly than they do in Australia, you know, and
because they've only just worked out what text is
exactly right. But all the numbers are like 1-866.
Yep.
Now there's a New Zealander standing on the stage having to say 1-866-066-016.
There's a lot of sex going on at home.
There's a lot of sixes in that run.
I think there's a problem here. This is going to change their rating. They're all of a sudden going to be NC-17 for a TV show, and that's really not going to work.
So I'm sitting there with Fee, we're watching this episode, and we're sitting there going, right, so we see the number on the screen.
You got Foxtel.
No, in a way.
All right,
So.
Oh, God, really?
So we were watching this thing. It was a little jittery.
We're looking through the haze.
A little bit of a glitch.
No,
we're watching this thing.
Every 5 minutes you had to clean off the binoculars?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. We're watching... Exactly right. But did they then change the channel in the middle of it?
Yeah,
bastard.
Yeah, what can you do?
What can you do, exactly? Throw things at their window. Mm. So, we saw this thing on the screen. It says 1-866, blah, 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 blah. And we're going, this is going to be fun. So, there's the thing. This New Zealand's going to go, 1-8, socks, socks. He just was so careful. He was like, 1-8-6-6. And just this most clear pronunciation.
What is it with American reality TV programs that they like... They like non-American characters, don't they?
They do.
Because American Idol had that English...
Simon Cowell.
The dancing show had the English girl.
And the English host.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And the other dancing show had the English judge guy.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it, actually. And it's quite funny, because Ian Dickson sort of does both roles, because he's in there and they're like, you know, leading English record producer.
Oh, right.
And judge on Australian Idol... Ian Dickson. So he sort of like crosses both.
Yeah.
John Resnick's just from Planet Stone. So.
Dude, I love your show.
He's like that. He's like, dude, you guys like rocked my world. You guys were like a man. I'm just like, dude, John Bon Jovi already has your gig and it's over.
That's so true.
Speaking of, just to talk about John Bon Jovi, just briefly before
Why do we have to?
I know. He had a two-hour meeting with Al Gore last night.
Oh, right.
They did talk a little bit about music. They talked a little bit about the fact that Al Gore liked the new Robert Plant album.
But mostly about each other's hair.
They talked a little bit about each other's hair. But they talked about the fact that John Bon Jovi is considering running for the governor of New Jersey. There we go.
My question would be, why?
Because he's wanted!
Did you know that Bon Jovi...
I was going to eat that there.
Who I thought only had one album.
He does.
Slippery When Wet. I thought that was the only album they'd ever released. Actually has a best of.
I know.
Which I assumed would be just the same track listing
as Slippery
When Wet.
But do you know what's really fascinating? Slippery When Wet was actually officially voted by some boring rock critic as the album that has the single most cliches on the entire album.
Oh, really?
It has something like 220 cliches across the entire album, including the title, Slippery When Wet.
Mm.
So there you go.
And John Bon Jovi, he himself is in fact a cliche.
I've heard that.
Tight jeans, big hair. He's a bit like Winona Judd.
Can I do that again? Because he's wanted!
Dead or alive!
Hi, I'm Candy Apples, and I'm here on the set of my world's largest gangbang where I'm going to try to fuck 1,000 guys. The guys don't have a long time with me. Basically, we're going for numbers, we're not going so much for pleasure. The fluffers get them ready, they prepare them for coming up so that they're ready to go when they get to me. And basically, I would do 3 guys at a time. And maybe for 5 seconds, some for 30 seconds, depending upon if the next group of guys was ready or not.
Okay, that's 30 seconds. We can get around. Let's get somebody else. Okay, guys, no more coming in our face. No facial cum shots. All right, no facial cum shots. Come on, we've got a lot of fucking to do.
Another idea to end this gangbang was for us to get married.
Yeah, we're actually getting married right after me being the very last guy and then having a minister come up and marry us.
No, it's not the plot.
It's not the plot?
No.
Haven't you given away the entire plot of the new Fellini film?
Yes,
I know he's dead. Mm. Don't even comment on that.
500 and a half?
Is that it? I was going to say The Balloons of Jordan.
Actually, this of course, originally started as a sequel.
Jordan does have big balloons.
Well, you could say Knights of Cabiria.
Yeah, good.
This originally started as the sequel to 300, as in 500, and then, you know, people started taking their clothes off, and this
Sparta!
Is what
Sparta!
Sorry.
Sparta!
Sparta!
This is the Walk of My Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to talk about...
You still don't own it.
No.
It's not a big claim to fame. I think there's quite a lot of people who'd be in that same boat.
No, it's sold very well. It's actually one of the highest selling HD DVDs.
Wow, a lot of morons in this country.
I'm just telling you something.
Can I at this point...
No, shut up. Oh, yes.
Congratulate the fact that we now have the 26th Prime Minister of Australia, Kevin Rudd.
Whee!
He was officially sworn in on Monday at Parliament House with a bit of a jocular sort of ceremony with Major General.
Yeah,
Mugleton.
I tell you what, he's
made a few gags.
Yeah, he's modern, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, you know, just a few little one-liners.
Yeah.
If Rove ever's looking for a co-host while he's off on holidays, Mike Jeffrey would be up there. I reckon.
Go much further than Mike Jeffrey.
No, I reckon so. It's funny than Peter Hellyer.
Yeah, he had almost one.
But then
line.
Again, who isn't?
He had almost one line for every minister.
I think he did have it. Yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah, nice hair, Julia.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. Making a comment, of course, that her hairdresser partner was in the nice hair, Julia, and he went, yep, thanks, mate. It's all beautiful.
Her partner's a hairdresser?
Yeah, partner's a hairdresser. Tim Matheson, I think
he
is.
But no, for that.
Beat anybody?
I would have voted for John Howard.
You can always change your vote.
Yeah, next time.
Next time. Now,
I'll take back maybe 2 or 3 of my votes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, good on you. Now,
well, that's only 5%, so that's pretty good.
He did make... Now, we didn't get to talk about this last week because this didn't actually happen until later in the week.
That's probably why.
The announcement of the cabinet and ministry.
Yes.
For the new Rudd government. Now, of course, funnily enough, I don't know how this happened, but he actually appointed Kevin Rudd as Prime Minister.
That is incredible.
I'm not sure how that happened, but...
They all agreed, did they?
I think they did.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was allowed to. He's been given the rights to appoint whoever he wants.
Fantastic.
And he decided to appoint Kevin Rudd as Prime Minister. We know Deputy Prime Minister, of course, is Julie Gillard. There was an interesting photo in yesterday's Herald of her sizing up her desk. And just while we were waiting outside, I thought there was an interesting...
Did she get a desk proportional to the size of her portfolio?
I think she did. It's a pretty big desk. Now, I made this comment to you outside. I'm getting the distinct feeling that... They're still at... Thank you.
Yes.
They're still nice. I'm getting the distinct feeling that they actually still don't think they've won.
It's odd, isn't it?
I think they've lost
momentum. They're, nothing's happening. Oh. The first 100 days are supposed to be the most dynamic. They seem to be walking around going...
I think I'm a minister
now. Regardless of that, the first week has been pretty dynamic. If you want, if I'm understanding
your
media,
Kyoto is pretty good.
Dynamic. So yeah, to come out and do that without even leaving, the Governor General's house.
Yeah, they did that all in the way they got sworn in.
Pretty clever.
Yeah. So swear us all in. And by the way, have you got a bit of time just to ratify Kyoto?
Exactly.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I've actually got afternoon tea.
And the news didn't. Are we going to talk about Kyoto?
Yeah, we can talk.
But Kyoto? The interesting thing is it Bali?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Nice. I've always loved the French.
I have. I love them a lot. Probably shut the fuck up.
Yeah. when it was announced in Bali, and I'm not sure of the guy who announced it. I know he's one of the negotiators, but when you think about it, all our negotiators in Bali were Howard selectees.
They were. Right? Except, of course, now Peter Garrett and Penny Wong.
And Kevin Rudd. Yeah.
I like Penny Wong.
I like Perry Wong. Perry Wong?
Perry Wong.
Perry Wonkle. Perry Wonkle's quite nice. Yes. Also
with
like Sky
soy
Blue.
Sauce.
with the sauce.
And a bit of rouge would be good too. Yeah. The Kyoto, when he announced it, the news just showed a very short sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing in today's
paper about
it.
Apparently it was a standing ovation. He had to wait 2 minutes before he could say the rest of his speech.
Because there's now only one country left in the world that has not ratified Kyoto, and that's America. And they are
States of Unconsciousness.
They are looking like complete fucking loners. Sitting out there, you know. And
not just in that way. I think the world is turning against the US for those who weren't already against them already.
What was really interesting, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was watching an NFL game this week, which was...
Is this between watching episodes of that new...
Of Next Great American Band, yes.
Can I just pause?
Yep.
Rewind.
Yep.
What was the start of that sentence again?
I was watching an NFL game.
Pause. Rewind.
I don't know, I think Greatest American Band is probably a bit more depressing.
I was watching an NFL game this week.
And who was playing?
It was the Green Bay Packers versus my favourite NFL team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Can I just say that for some years, you used to pick on me for having any vague interest in the NFL, and now all of a sudden, while I was just sitting down watching the NFL with my NFL jersey, my NFL helmet, my NFL beer with my NFL pants on, I thought to myself,
and
I love the NFL.
And getting hit from Brett
Favre. Can I just state, categorically,
one.
Here and now, that I haven't. Falling into line
What's
with
this conversion
like
to NFL?
It's an interesting game. This season I've been a little bit more.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't actually. It's really boring.
It's not.
I know. I agree with you.
Sorry,
3 hours for a 60-minute game.
Okay, it's not as boring as cricket.
That's true. Four or 5 days for a 60-minute.
But once you've actually understood all the rules of NFL and realised that they are total gutless wankers who only have one little particular role of stupidity on a field, and they're so padded because they're so gutless, then you can probably see an interest in why so many moronic Americans look. Watch it, basically.
I just like Pete's phrase. It's not as good this season. So last season was better.
No.
How was the Super Bowl? How's the Super Bowl party?
I didn't actually watch the Super Bowl, but I did.
I did see
a game while I was in the US, so maybe that might have. I was converted. So
can
I
just say that
game.
I saw the Dallas Cowboys play live.
Did
back
you?
In 1976?
Yeah, I don't.
So you can stick that up your bum and smoke it.
Can I just tell you that live as a band play NFL really well?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
that's good. Mm. Now my point. There were two reasons that I was very interested in.
You
this
know, when we actually went along to this game. Yeah. And it was like the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
2 hours later.
Oh, no. In this game I was watching, the last 1 second lasted for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's strategy.
In fact,
it's
I take
tense.
It back. It is just like fucking cricket.
Yes. Now, my point. There were two things that I found quite interesting about this. This, of course, came from the NFL Network, not one of the major networks. Was the fact that the commentator was Bryant Gumbel.
Hey!
That's where Brian Gumbel has ended up.
I wonder what Brian Gumbel was doing.
But he's always
days.
Done that. He did that before he actually came onto morning TV.
But now he's in like some backwater network.
Actually, his brother took it over for a long time because he started on sports and he went to the Day Show.
Good,
and
I should
brother.
Talk. We seem to know a lot about this.
And his brother took over. So it's interesting to see Brian Gumbel is back. I like Brian Gumbel.
I like Brian Gumbel too. I prefer Jane Pauley. But anyway, now my other point.
I like
was
Katie
that
Couric.
This coverage. Willard? This coverage still had. Oh, Willard was good. This coverage still had. The American ads in it.
Oh,
now, this was my point of why I brought this all up 15,000 minutes ago. was the fact that there was an ad for the two ads for the American Army in there.
Oh, yeah.
One was the Standard American Army recruiting ad, which was the Go Army, Go Strong campaign they're running with at the moment. Not mentioning the fact that none of the single pieces of footage of anyone actually in active service showed them in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Handy that.
They were, funnily enough, in Dakota.
Dakota. Yeah.
Which, of course, is a big war zone.
Or in the snow. That's the front line. That's the front line.
That Dakota's the front line?
Yeah,
I've heard
there's
that.
A lot of terrorists.
They sort of send the to Iraq for safety.
Yeah, the Dakota faction.
I've heard
of
that.
Actually, the Hezbollah.
Yes.
You're right, and the big problem is Dakota Fanning.
Oh, yeah.
She's taking over.
You did say Hezbollah, yes.
Hezbollah. They're not terrorists.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
The other thing,
the Americans think they're terrorists. Everyone else thinks they're a legitimate government.
The other interesting thing was the ad I saw for a charity that was supporting veterans who'd come back from the war with fairly severe injuries, which in and of itself is quite a serious issue. But the dialogue, the narrative of the ad was constantly about, you've got to give us money because our heroes are fighting for our freedom.
Oh.
And it was this constant fight for the freedom. Because this had come from the South of America. This coverage that was out of the network in the South of America. But this narrative was this constant about fighting for freedom. Now, the reality is, they're now turning the whole thing around in the States from this is a coalition, this is the world fighting for freedom, to now this is America fighting for freedom.
Yes, that's right. That's
because the
thing.
British have left. Mm. The Australians, I suspect, will be out of there in about 6 or 8 months.
But that's the long-term plan, I believe. They're moving them into Afghanistan.
Yeah. So it's interesting to watch the way that America has shifted.
That's different.
It is. Mm. I ended up losing that at about 30 seconds in, and then I haven't really followed it
it's
since.
It's all good. So how was the NFL?
It was interesting.
It's a bit hard to watch it through binoculars, though.
It was very hard to watch it through binoculars.
Difficult.
It'll get there eventually. So Julia Gillard, of course, made different.
I'm seriously considering leaving this show now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The fact that.
So the ministry. The point I was making about Julia Gillard earlier before was the fact there was a photo of her in the Herald yesterday.
Was there?
Funnily enough, making some criticisms of the
minutes.
What's
30 minutes? Yes, Julie Gillard waxing her desk.
She was sitting at the desk.
Come on, we know that Julie is
incredibly
uncomfortable. Why was she looking uncomfortable?
It's just that whole thing about, like, it just.
She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where to stick her hand.
She doesn't know where to sit. Doesn't know where the mouse is.
No, she's a good communist. She's thinking, what am I going to do in charge of a capitalist country?
And why can't I give this desk to all those other people?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't I cut the desk up and give little bits to everybody?
Yeah, exactly right.
She's actually probably ruling it up to cut it up.
Now, she's been made two ministers.
Peter Garrett said, don't
That's
cut
what
it
she
down.
Was doing. She wasn't looking at uncomfortable. She's looking at. I have no idea how I'm going to cut this into 21 million pieces.
Pieces, exactly right.
But then the Greens walked in and said it's an endangered timber, so you can't cut it up anyway.
Yes.
Now, what's really fascinating is the fact that normally the number two person in the cabinet is the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to make Swanee treasurer, number two in the cabinet.
That's right.
So what they did with Julia is they gave her two ministries to make her more powerful than Swanee.
Oddly enough, I don't get that at all.
Now, what gets me is that these are the two most important ministries that the government got elected on.
Uh-huh.
Education, although I'm surprised they didn't call it the Minister for the Education Revolution.
Yes.
And the Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations and Social Inclusion.
Or as John Howard said, we don't need an education revolution, we just need them to add up better.
Exactly right. So the two single most important things they got elected on have been put on one minister. Now, the spin of this, of course, was that... she's a very capable minister, she's very intelligent, and blah, blah, blah. My issue here, and I'm not going to be overly critical of Labor, because woohoo, we're in, is that education is too fucking important just to give as a side ministry to someone else. Now, the biggest ticket item at the moment is going to be the breaking down of work choices.
That's true.
That is going to be the biggest thing they're going to have to do for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck is education going to be?
You're right, you're absolutely
but
right.
Isn't there an argument, Pete? The fact that education... and work and training for work is all part of one big plan. And to split it up into two ministries is we end up with what we've got at the moment, which is a complete
disconnection.
Disconnection and dysfunctional.
Look, quite possibly, but to me, the reason it was actually done was not the right reason. It was done to make her second in importance.
That is true. But it's interesting, actually. Richard raises an interesting point there, because they're saying now that they're going to be put all of these vocational training centres in schools.
Yeah, and closing down the Australian Technical Colleges, which
that's right.
I fully agree with.
Yep. So they're going to actually put them into school, which is interesting, because it's almost like you get your education and you learn a trade while at school, and then you go on to
which
TAFE.
Which is what we used to do anyway.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, isn't it? I think it's a great... And look, that is the education revolution.
But what gets me, though, is that... she doesn't even get, like, a parliamentary secretary to help her out.
Oh.
You know, like, Foreign Affairs gets two.
Does she get a car parking space?
Possibly.
She got two car parking
spaces. She should.
One for the Volvo and the other
one
for the...
Does she get a five-year plan?
I don't think she does either.
Oh.
But she might get a little red book.
I think she already has.
Wayne Swan, of course, as we know, was promised the Treasury job before the election and got it.
Now, it's interesting because Treasury is going to play a much smaller part in this government.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The Treasurer won't be as important a person because social issues and education and training and stuff like that will have a higher... importance than Treasury, which of course will have a problem. The media won't understand.
The media will not understand it.
I don't agree with that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find that they will come out toting economy.
Although, funnily enough, the economy's been the big ticket in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, interest rates, inflation, banks being greedy fuckers, usual stuff.
But I think that they need to come out and pretend at least that it's important to keep all those Liberal voters who voted for, you know, not the coalition.
Yeah.
On side.
No, I agree.
In 3 or 4 years' time.
No, I do agree.
But actions speak louder than words anyway.
Yeah, that's also true.
At the end of the day, what they do is not so much the priority they give it now, it's what they actually do with the economy.
And that's true.
Because a lot of people are still saying, oh, Labor's just going to get in and spend a whole lot of money. Well, of course they are, you douchebag. They need to. No one else has.
The interesting thing about that is whenever anybody says that, I say, good.
Yeah, good, exactly.
Bring it on.
A fairly unknown person, Senator Chris Evans, has been made the Minister for Immigration and Citizenship.
I'm going to read along.
And I thought that's actually a good thing because basically he couldn't get up any more than the previous occupants.
That's also true.
John Faulkner, the Lazarus with a like quadruple skiing bypass.
I'm very surprised to see him back.
Is back as the fifth most senior member of the Rudd cabinet.
Mm.
And probably the person with the world's stupidest glasses.
Yes, and they're about 50 years old.
They come from 1972.
They're terrible.
They're Whitlam. Whitlam gave them to him, and he's never taken them off.
Not taken them off.
You?
That's a fair point. Good point. Crean got trades. Stephen Smith got moved up to Foreign Affairs.
Oh, that'll make the Libs happy that Crean got trade.
Yeah. Why?
Why? He's former ACTU president.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I hadn't thought about that. Tanner is finance. Albanese got moved up to infrastructure, which is interesting for him.
But it's really... What's Albanese ever given anybody?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, right.
He's my local member and he'll probably kneecap me.
He's also leader of the House. I didn't know
he's leader of the House. He has been leader of the... It's been the leader of the opposition in the House for a number of years because he's a great head kicker.
Yeah, he's used to it.
Conroy, of course, got the Broadband Communications and the Digital Economy, the new ministry that used to be known as Dakita and is now known as Bukda.
Now, it's good, actually, that he's done that. He also won custody of his child.
I saw that during the week.
Yes.
And to me, that humanised him a little bit more.
See, I think the interview we did with him humanised him enough. But yes, I agree. I think he'll be a great communications minister. He seemed to have some great ideas. And really looking forward to see what he does after Senator Helen Coonan removes her 74-inch heels from the backside of the ACMA.
I tell you, they were removing them today from her office, let me tell you.
Just boxes and boxes of them.
Yeah, I was getting in the lift to come down to get my lunch from where I was working. And I work on the same floor, this is Mayno, as good old Coonan, who has a big on her big glass doors, the Honorary Senator Helen Coonan.
Mm-hmm.
Deputy Leader of the Government in the Senate.
Yep.
And Minister for Telecommunications and the Arts, blah, blah, blah. Well, the removalists were in there today, and I even bumped into one of the guys. Where's Coon's office? I said, over there, mate, take everything.
Yeah. Good to see the back. I don't know if Conroy will be moving into those offices or other ones.
I don't know. I think she's given up the office.
Okay, because he's in Victoria.
Yeah.
So
he'll be controlling for Victoria, which is interesting. More and more stuff is moving out of New South Wales, which is not a bad thing.
To me, the interesting split was the split in environment, heritage and the arts going to the Honorary Peter Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And
he deserves that. I think that's good.
And climate change going to Penny Wong. Now, she actually sits above him on level in cabinet, but, it's marginal.
Don't you think that's odd, though, to have an environment minister not dealing with climate change? Or do you think that climate change is going to be such a big issue with the government?
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, all the commentators are saying it's because of the gaffes and he's not experienced enough, but I'd like to think that climate change is a bigger thing because it... You know, and they were saying today that in Parliament... Yep. Swan will be the one who will be talking about climate change.
Yes, because it's an economic issue.
It's an economic issue.
Yep. Interesting. Interesting.
So, which already highlights how important a factor they consider it, because they do know that it's going to have a big economic impact.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And, you know, and Peter's just not experienced enough for that.
And look, I mean, let's be fair, he's been in Parliament 3 years. Mm. As I have met many of these people, actually, are reasonably new ones. Poor Tony Burke got a little bit dropped down the list, former New South Wales Minister Tony Burke. Some of the big winners and losers out of this, Bob Debus in his first year of Parliament got Home Affairs.
Now, he was actually, Bob Debus used to be...
Attorney General.
Yeah, he did. And also he... had a big interest in defence for a while.
He did.
But and it, from what he was saying, seemed to make sense. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in that portfolio.
Big rise for Tanya Plibersek, Sydney, the electorate of Sydney,
yep.
up to the housing and status of women.
Which is good, because she said that in housing and that kind of thing, she had some big plans for this year, so... Sounds excellent. From what she was saying on Channel 7's coverage, so does the Rudd government. Now, youth homelessness is one of their big things.
She was on TV?
Yeah, she was on the Channel 7's coverage of the election, and she was saying that one of the big things they want to do in their first term, well, you know, in the first 100 days, is to look at youth homelessness.
Nice. That's an important thing to do. There was a huge increase in the number of parliamentary secretaries, and there are some big names in the parliamentary secretary list. You've got Maxine McHugh as the Parliamentary Secretary for Prime Minister in the Cabinet, Greg Combay, former General Mike Kelly, Gary Gray, former Secretary of the, former Federal Secretary of the Labor Party, Bill Shorten, Bob McMullen, Duncan Kerr, and Laurie Ferguson.
Oh, dear.
Big Laurie still there.
God, he's still around. Who got Defence?
Defence went to Joel Fitzgibbon.
Now, who is Joel Fitzgibbon with this at home?
He's been in Parliament about 10 years. He's Victorian, I think. He's in that same group as Stephen Smith, Stephen Conroy. They've all came in at that same time. Jenny Macklin survived, which is good. I like Jenny Macklin.
Yeah, but does she do anything?
She's in Families, Housing, Community Services.
Yeah, but she bumbles around, and then what's that?
I don't know, it's an interesting one.
I can bumble around.
What I'm disappointed about with the Cabinet...
in our own little way.
That's true. What I'm disappointed about in the Cabinet Ministry is that none of these actually have funky names.
Oh!
I mean, there was the Department...
The Ministries or the Ministers?
Ministries. The Ministries had some funky names. Last time we remember, there used to be the Department of Immigration and Citizenship, which, of course, is now become... Oh, it's still Immigration and Citizenship.
Was it Immigration and Border Patrol?
So now, it changed its name. So now its acronym is... Dick.
There's supposed to be an office.
Yes, good.
There's supposed to be an Office of Homeland Security, according to Mr. Wright.
No, that got killed for a number of reasons. One, they said it would just be a little bit too hard to do, and secondly, it would align them with the United States, which is not something they want to do.
No, not right now.
Of course, there used to be DeKeeter.
Wasn't there
or
a propaganda ministry? I mean,
I've heard that.
We had so many ads that were on before the election.
I believe there was a Ministry of News Speak. That was meant to be coming, although that was one of Howard's plans.
Yes, it was.
Unfortunately, it's an interesting ministry, and as we know, Kevin Rudd has given them 2 days off between now and New Year's. Christmas Day and Boxing Day, so they can go watch the test against India. Other than that, they're already hitting the road, Jack, and don't they come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
I'd like to hear what the ministers came up with when they were told to go and do a study of all the schools in their local area. I'd like to know what they came up with. What's good, what's bad, what's ugly.
Interestingly, Gerard Henderson, noted right-wing free thinker,
yes,
on The Insiders this week, said that the whole was a stupid idea.
Really?
Now, his logic being, and it's almost incontrovertible logic, is, so what? Are the poor schools only in Labour electorates? So, because they only ask Labour MPs to go to their schools in their electorates, what about schools that are in Liberal electorates?
Well, the Liberals didn't do that for 12 years, so...
So, is this like affirmative action on schools?
That doesn't make any sense.
No, no.
Did he just pull that out of his ass?
Probably.
What an idiot. Probably.
Now, we should also point
out... Well, hopefully the real reason why only the Labour electorates get it and the Liberals don't...
Is because there's a lot more of them?
No, fuck them. Fuck them for not voting.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good point. Now, interesting also, there are currently 8 electorates still in doubt.
18.
Eight.
Oh, eight.
8 electorates still in doubt. One, of course, is the former Treasury Secretary Peter Dutton in Dixon. The other is...
How could it still be in doubt? It was a week ago.
Yeah, there's still votes coming in from overseas.
Well, couldn't they have counted them first?
You'd think so. The interesting one for me was the is it Pat Farmer's seat out of MacArthur is still in doubt. I see the back of him.
Really?
Celebrity long distance runner.
Well, I thought he'd claim victory in the seat.
No, I don't believe
realize.
He has. He's still in doubt. There's still a couple of other seats in doubt. That there's one Labor held seat, which is the one in WA, the seat of Swan. But the seat that is not in doubt and now has officially been declared is the seat of Bennelong.
Yes.
And we'll talk about a little bit more about that later in the show, but the seat of Bennelong has officially been declared by Maxine McHugh. John Howard, on the other hand, has not conceded defeat.
Mm. Oh, really?
I think we'll be waiting another 100 years.
What a pathetic little turd. He's not. What a spoilt little brat. He's not going to actually admit defeat. What an idiot.
Well, the other thing is, I don't think he's ever going to say sorry either.
No, that's a good point. Anyway, the other interesting image during the week was the image where Kevin Rudd and his wife Therese Rain were shown around the lodge.
Yes.
By John and Jeanette.
Yeah, they locked him in the bathroom for a while. It was really rude.
Can I say that was actually quite quite welcoming.
It was
of Johnny.
But they do that as a matter of
no,
course.
No, Keating didn't. Keating said no way.
He wouldn't. Yeah. He hates the fuckers.
And they brought the cameras in and everything, which hasn't happened the last time around.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was actually quite ingenuous of.
Yeah, exactly.
It was actually quite honest. And Johnny's right. And now Johnny just doesn't give a shit anymore.
No, he doesn't.
He hasn't said a word. He left Kirribilli House, I think, on the last morning he was in there, and he made some comment. Someone said, "Have you got anything to say about blah blah blah, Mr. Howard?" And he just went, "I have no political comment to make."
Interesting.
So, if you asked him about the football, he would have answered it.
Yeah.
Asked him about, how the kids going? Would have said, good, good. Mm. Pity Melanie couldn't come to the farewell. Oh, I can't talk about politics. it's interesting. He's actually taken this a lot better than I anticipated.
Well, we don't know that.
He's just gone,
let's just wash my hands of it. But if he really had that, he would have conceded. That man
right out. Well, the other interesting thing this week is apparently he's already writing up his memoirs from 33 years of diary entries.
Nice.
And he's already got a publisher. And
of course.
Pretty much ready to sort of spit that out in early to mid next year. The question I would have is who would buy it seriously thinking that they were going to get the honest truth? I mean, seriously, this close to being defeated at the election, you know, picking up an autobiography. Mm.
The Howard years. Mm-hmm.
You would want to turn to the end, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would want to find out the last year in power, what it was like for him, what he went through, you know, the challenges, what was going through his head as he came up to that final election. But there is no way on this earth that he's going to tell the truth.
The last page, page 794, is going to be, "And so we ended 2006 in great form." And then there was 2007, the end.
That's it.
That's going to be about all you're going to get.
I mean, but seriously. Yeah.
But I know who's going to buy it. I'll give you a person who's going to buy
Henderson.
It.
Jared Henderson.
Piers Ackerman. I'm going to give you...
Miranda Devine.
John Laws.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not, actually. He's a bit over him these days.
Yeah, he said he wanted a WT.
That guy from the JB? Oh, I'll come back to that. Remind me about... There's a good story about JB, which we'll do in the TWT segment.
Look, I'd want to read a John Howard autobiography.
Why?
Where was the truth?
But it isn't. You've read it all before. Jared Henderson's been writing it for years about how fantastic... In fact, it's probably been ghostwritten by all these neophyte bastards who've been, you know,
talking about
it for years. I mean... it's probably going to be one of these copy and pastings where he goes, "Oh, well, you know, I was Prime Minister in Australia in 1984. They said I would be a fantastic Prime Minister." And
it's one of those books, and you go up to the library. I'd like to borrow that Howard autobiography. Well, have you checked in the fiction section?
Yeah, exactly right. But I know who's going to buy it and probably get the limited edition leather-bound cover just to put up on his wall.
Jared Henderson.
I was going to say Tony Abbott.
Oh, Tony Abbott.
Yeah. Tony Abbott. This is Welcome Back for us to 88.5 FM.
Oh, yes.
Holy bananas.
Yes,
there we go.
Here.
This is a Welcome Back for us to 88.5 FM.
I feel alive. I feel alive.
I feel the earth move.
Under my skin.
Yeah, there we go. That's enough of that. This week's TWT, of course, the newspaper of record.
Yes, for the area.
For the area, the newspaper
right-wing
of record.
Record.
slightly right-wing record, was published...
It's not so much a record as a manifest.
This was published on Wednesday, November 28th. This will be the last session we'll actually have because, A, the election's over so we don't care anymore, and, B, the person who brings these papers in, and we'd like to thank them, is actually going to be in hospital for the next couple of weeks, so we won't be able to get any more until he's back, but... when we get them, it'll all be good. Now, the TWT, of course, as we know, has been copying our byline.
Well, who hasn't?
Everyone's been copying our byline, the battle for Bennelong. Now, he declared this to be a knife-edge cliffhanger.
A knife-edge cliffhanger.
Knife-edge cliffhanger, even though John Howard, on the night of the election, actually conceded.
Yes, not so much a knife-edge.
In as many
he
words as
saying, concede, Pete.
He said... More than likely, it looks like conceded. I have lost the... I will not be returned as the sitting member for Bennelong.
He conceded that it would be close.
Oh, we get to play it again. Nice. We're going to play the whole thing?
I'm just running it underneath you.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
well, run it. We said last week...
Run it underneath you, see what it feels like.
I'll run it at me, all right. Oh, it feels nice. Now, of course, the big news on the front of the TWT is that the Gladesville Christmas Festival was held last Saturday.
Yep, fantastic.
With the TWT and Teen Queen Lillian Tarmassian.
Ooh, Armenian.
There we go. There's Lydia. There's Lydia Tarmassian.
Definitely Armenian.
How did that happen?
Well, to the on front page, I'm not entirely sure.
I've been stumbling my words.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now there was a little thing here about Maxine McHugh MP. Question mark. Now following through the paper, what's really quite interesting is there's a big note then on the third page, that says Howard concedes. So it's a It's a knife edge cliffhanger on the front, Maxine McHugh ?
Yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
On the third page it says Howard concedes.
And the opening paragraph says, Australia's greatest Prime Minister ever concedes.
Well, as you see, John Howard has virtually conceded today that he has been defeated after 33 years instead of Bennelong. In the last of his exclusive weekly columns in the TWT as a member for Bennelong and Prime Minister, Mr. Howard says that it's likely the case I'll no longer be the member for Bennelong. He does have his final John Howard reports. He's no longer listed as John Howard, member for Bennelong, Prime Minister. He's now just listed as John Howard, member for Bennelong.
Yes, of course.
And they've removed the Prime Minister reports. There's no reference to being the Prime Minister anymore, because he's not!
It's tough for the people at TWT.
I know, they've been a
difficult time for them.
They've been down on their knees for 11 and a half years.
They have.
Now, you have to go through about 12 pages.
Sometimes they got to play pitcher.
That's very true. You've got to go through 12 pages.
There's an Evan 07 poster.
There's an Evan 07.
Maybe not in my electorate.
Evan didn't get elected. Did Evan 07 get elected in your electorate?
Evan didn't even stand in my seat.
Gutless bastard.
Exactly.
This is just a little note about our local state member, John Watkins, who was campaigning for Maxine.
Waddy.
Now, you have to keep going. There's a story on the brickworks near Channel 7 at Mobbs Lane, and eventually you get to page 10 and 11. Now, this is the on the hustings, victory is sweet, knife edge cliffhanger result. As we know, there's 1, 2 photos of Johnny, 1, 2, 3, 4 photos of Maxine. They're starting to just correct the imbalance.
Yeah.
We did, of course, talk through the results in there last week. No photos of the fact that this also covers North Sydney.
Look how many candidates.
There was a lot of candidates in the electorate. The lowest votes recorded, I think we might officially announce that, was Gavin Spencer from the Citizens Electoral Council.
Gavin, if you're listening, sucked in.
followed by David Lee Honlegem. From the Liberty and Democracy Party.
Oh, look, that's difficult for him. Obviously, believing in liberty and democracy, he's in the wrong country. Go away.
And we should actually point that Maxine McHugh was, in fact, 324 votes ahead on the primary vote.
It's so close.
She got a 16% swing towards her.
Hmm.
Interesting, though, that while the candidate for the Greens did reasonably well on primary, 5.4%, they did suffer a 10.2% swing because Andrew Wilkie stood in that seat last time. Now, this is all very interesting. This is obviously, if you follow the TWT, you're going to follow the changing narrative that's going to build in this. What was really fascinating, and this, of course, is I'm going to put this away now, was that there was a shot of Maxine McHugh walking through the local Gladesville fete last weekend. A bit of film footage on the news.
Yep.
Who was walking right next to her in his little bowler hat? JB.
Yes, the man from the TWT.
The man from the TWT is already working the new member.
He is. John Howard must be gutted. absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm reckoning. Like, he's been John's best mate, as he said, and I'm not going to slander JB here. He's a local businessman, and I have no issue with that. And this station should be supporting local businesses. I have no problem with that.
I'm sorry.
Even right-wing businesses.
Actually, the businesses should be supporting us.
That's also true.
So, JB, if you're listening,
support us. Now, and he's done very well for the local community.
Yeah, he has. Good on him.
He's got John Howard to promise an enormous amount of money over the years through his own personal relationship with John Howard.
And even to people outside the community, which is incredible.
I know. In Leichhardt.
In Leichhardt, that is an amazing thing.
So,
for a local member to give someone to someone else's electorate, I am so... JB, nice job.
So you've got all of this. Who I feel sorry for. JB, doing a good job. I feel sorry for Johnny. So what's Johnny's done? He's got his mate. This is his mate with a little bowler cap. You know, they've shared good times. They've shared the bad times.
Yep.
They've been through the tough. They've been through the rough. They've
been through the tough times.
We've
been through the rough times.
Is this a Nick Cave thing?
We've been through the hard times. We've been through the good times.
I'm just going to say something here. You know what I love about this program?
What?
That when you sing on the top of your voice, instead of actually moving off mic, you sing straight into the bloody things.
We've been through the tough times. We've been through the rough times.
Oh, is Richard still here?
Over here. Now, my point being, if you're a little Johnny's been through the hard times, the rough times, the good times, the bad times,
on, yeah.
All those sort of things.
The only reason he turns me down is because I'm the only one who can sing.
Good point. So he's been through all these things.
I don't believe you.
And then
for that.
He picks the phone up. He picks the phone up and says, JB, I'm going
JB,
through...
JB,
I'm going
JB, through, I'm we've going, been through the tough times, the hard times, the rough times, the good times, the bad times.
We've been through all this stuff. I'm down. I'm sad. I'm lost.
I'm down. I'm down. I'm out.
And what does JB say? I'm going to go and walk the field with Maxine. Golf.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The thing, of course, we most thank JB for is his range of hi-fi stores. Thank you, JB. Enjoy that. And
they should support this station, too.
They should, that's true.
So,
in a non-commercial arrangement.
It's going to be very interesting to follow the TWT for the next couple weeks to see whether Maxine gets a column. I'd like Maxine to have a column.
She should have a
column. I think so. She should have a column.
The fifth column, perhaps?
Yep.
What page did Johnny used to get his
on? Number three.
Third page. We'll see where she ranks.
Yeah, I'd suspect 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Seems to be where she's going.
I think somewhere near the bowling results.
Towards
the back.
But
the election was near the bowling results.
I think it was.
It was on the same page.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah. Check it out.
I didn't actually see that. I think you might be... No, it's near the school science results.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, was it
school side?
North Sydney school side results.
Yeah, school side results. They're really important. And the best school sign goes to Kent Road Public School and with a tie with Riverside Girls High School.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? A private snotty school and a public
shite. Give me that
Aussie school.
There we go. Abe's just Abe. What's the bowling results?
I get a look.
You like the Ride City Men, don't you?
Miss Ride X final this Saturday night. Come and see some of Sydney's most beautiful girls battle it out for the title of Miss Ride X.
Now that's something to aspire to.
Now the competition is set to soar, with many of the finalists having appeared on various magazine campaigns in magazines such as Ralph, Zoo, and along with TV appearances.
Now, did you read that during the week that Jermaine Greer has been named Zoo Magazine's Woman of the Year?
I did.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Did you read Zoo Magazine?
Your point would be...
No, I just wanted to see if I would buy
it. Sorry, I was distracted.
Quite right, Ace. Anyway.
Give me a look at the hotties.
Okay, so that has been this week's run through the TWT, perhaps for the last time.
My goals for the future. Today we can see the fruits of a great yet unfinished transformation in Australia. An Australian renaissance with a new synthesis of aspiration and fairness has taken shape off the back of the strongest economy in our nation's history. More people are in jobs than ever before. The number of Australians on welfare is down. Household wealth has more than doubled. Business investment is strong. We've lost the election. We've shown how to strengthen Medicare while supporting private health insurance. We've shown how to expand school choice while investing record amounts in government schools. We've demonstrated how to protect our borders while running a large and welcoming immigration program. We've illustrated how Australia can build closer ties with Asia while also strengthening relations with traditional allies. Australians can now see that many of their choices under the old Labor narrative are really false choices.
Oh, in the Black Forest.
That piece, by the way, that Richard just read, or John Howard just read,
was
on the liberal.org.au website. It's John Howard's final message to the Australian population. And if you had to pick what you'd read, either about the Miss Ride X final or that, I'd be picking Miss Ride X.
Now, exciting news hot on the heel of Miss Ride X final, which, of course, was the other Saturday night. did you know that according to a survey in the US, this is a new US survey from the Sexuality Research and Social Policy...
You needed a link, didn't you?
...council. Yes, thus my my reason for looking at this. One-third of women who meet someone online have sex on the first date. The US study, which surveys 568...
All right, Pete.
I'd like to make no comment at this time.
The US study would survey 500...
my press secretary.
All right. Yeah.
68
How
women...
My press secretary, she's good.
Yeah.
Had sex on the first day.
Yeah, yeah.
Also found that 27% of respondents performed oral sex on the first date.
Did you know...
Hey. I just love that...
No comment to make, but you asked my press secretary, she'd, she'd be
busy
at the
moment. How many percent?
27%.
Did you know that 40% of American teenagers aged 14 to 17 do not believe that oral sex constitutes a form of sexual contact?
Wow, that's cool.
Even though its name is
so
oral
sex. How many had oral sex on the first date but not sex?
Well, let me see. 20% of 568. So what, a third of 560? Shut up. It says here... people do feel more comfortable with each other when they've had lots of conversations online, whether it's through RSVP, Facebook, or any online social network. Ms. Percival, who's in charge of the Sexuality Research and Social Policy Council, it's hard to say, said that in general women were holding out more and that the 12-date rule... Has anyone heard of the 12-date rule?
No.
Is that like the... the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas rule?
A bit like that. It was becoming popular...
How is Vegas? She doing all right?
She did well, yeah. Oh, but I don't want to comment about that. You need to talk to my press secretary.
All right. How is she?
She's good. She's in Nevada.
Oh, she really?
Not a lie. Leave it. Leave it.
So, yes, apparently 12 days...
Nevada.
Apparently 12
days... She's good. She's not in Vegas.
I shouldn't ask.
No. Apparently the 12-date rule is becoming popular, but when talking to someone
online... What is the 12-date rule?
...over a period of time, it is easy to be lulled into a false sense of security, they say.
If the 12-day rule is, once you get to the 12th day, 12 days have passed.
Oh, I see.
If you know what date, not date.
It's pretty clear when you actually understand.
If you know what the 12-date rule is, write to us at whatthefuckisthe12dateRule@walkblackforest.org.
No, no. This the fuck is the 12-date rule.
This the fuck is always the 12-date rule at warblackforest.org.
Brilliant.
We need
fantastic.
To know.
That's all I had to say.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Now,
what is the 12-day rule?
I have no idea. The 12-date
rule, is it... I'm about to friggin' tell you.
Oh, so, but you need to write it to...
Okay.
This the fuck is the 12-date
rule. No, I
want
to know.
I'm just going to write this
just
down.
Just tell me what it is.
A 12-date rule is that you don't sleep with someone until you've gone on 12 dates.
That can't be the 12-day rule.
It's the frickin' 12-date rule.
But if it was America...
Who would frickin' count?
Sorry?
Can you buy, like, a T-shirt?
Who would count? Would you get up to 10 and think, nope, can't, we've got two more to go?
Yes, that's what they do.
No, because they probably bought T-shirts from The Gap that have, like, tick boxes.
If you're that much of a prude...
Oh, we're on our 10th date! Tick!
Seriously, if you're that much of a prude to actually stop yourself for 12 dates... You're probably the sort of person that's going to wait until marriage anyway.
Yeah, but you might be a bloody go-rupper.
Because, Richard, I've heard that true love actually waits.
Does it?
You've heard that, haven't you?
Waits for no man?
No!
True love waits.
True love does not wait.
It does. Look, I'm sorry. I wear my commitment to Jesus ring, and on the inside of my commitment to Jesus ring, it's on that finger too, it says in the middle of it that I'm waiting for when Jesus says I can have sex.
And who are you having sex with?
Can I just say that you'll be waiting a very, very long time?
No. Actually, there was a really interesting...
Because he's not real.
There was a really interesting thing today.
Hello, Jesus. I'd like some.
There was a really Hello, interesting... Jesus. I read this...
Pretty please?
I've just finished this book.
I spoke to Nevada. She said it was fine.
I read this book called... I can't remember the name of it. It's by a guy called Chuck Klosterman. It's a low culture manifesto. What's interesting in it is that...
Oh, sounds really interesting.
Was that? I have no idea what he just said. Oh, he's in his bag. Here we go. It's in his bag of tricks.
It's called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. It's a book by Chuck Klosterman. It's a low culture manifesto, so it's about like using pop culture to. It's a pop culture philosophy book, effectively. But there's a really interesting statistic. Yeah, it's a bit like that actually. So is Nevada.
There's a very interesting statistic in there. I think it said 99% of all books are boring.
Yeah, that, it did say that statistic.
It actually said that 80% of people who read this book, who buy this book, don't read it.
Yes.
No, it's,
or
it,
don't understand.
There's a description. There's a description in here about Christian rock.
Right.
And there was a survey done by a number of American rock writers. No, I think his name was Jesus.
I think it might have been Dicko.
By American rock writers about. People who like Christian rock, and they actually found of the survey they took, which was about 1,000 people, around 47% actually officially declared themselves to be in love with Jesus.
Wow.
Like, in love.
As in, would like to stick their thing inside him, or...
Perhaps.
I think the Romans already did that.
I think the Romans did do that. Was a spear in the side.
Yes.
And a few nails.
Yes.
Metaphysics, don't you love it?
It's a whole new thing on nailing Jesus.
It does.
Now, interestingly enough...
Nailing Jesus. That's my arm.
Hot on the heels
song.
Of that
industrial song.
Good. So if there's any industrial record producers out there today,
sign me up.
Couple load of P.
Trent Reznor's on his way down.
Is he really?
DJ Ringfinger's on his way up.
Now, hot on the heel of this revelation about 27% of women performing oral sex on the first date.
Yep.
Where are they?
I don't know.
Right.
I might give them a call. China has banned fire department officials from receiving sexual favours as bribes from companies seeking their business. Local media reported today in China.
Damn, I'm going to China in a couple of weeks.
Hang on.
You want to have sex with a fireman?
I always wanted to. When their building catches fire, they go around looking for a fireman and say, can you come put my fire out?
Yes.
And I'll sleep with you.
Yeah.
And by the time they've done that, the thing's probably burnt down.
For every 10 corrupt officials, 9 are involved in illicit sex.
Nice.
Says here, fire department officials were also banned from letting their spouses and children run firefighting companies and market firefighting products. How odd. Apart from taking cash and other valuables, the order forbade officials from receiving cheap or free house renovations, having children entered into schools, and receiving sexual services.
It is every citizen's right in a communist wonderland. Is the word I'll use?
Society.
I'm saying wonderland.
All right.
In a communist wonderland... to be able to give sexual favours in order to have the house not burned down. It is their right. It was written by Mao in the Little Red Book.
Don't ridicule the system.
I'm not. Julia told me about it.
Did you know that the Chinese are the most...
is that the sweet nothing she whispers?
I think it is. Yeah.
The Chinese are actually the most... the sexually active country in the world.
Randy.
Randy.
But they also have the world's best access to birth control.
Do they?
Yes, because you're only allowed one child. It's a one-child policy in China.
Now, wait a minute. That was withdrawn.
No, it's
when you have the second baby, they cut its head off, take the head.
For the free trade, to be most favoured trading nation status.
They removed that.
The Americans said that they had to, you know, chop down.
Yeah, because you need more Chinese babies to buy American product.
That's right. Nice. And work in American factories.
Nice.
With less. Are you serious? They stopped it?
I don't think.
There was some move to do
I think they still got it.
I doubt that would have.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a new segment, which we'll be featuring on this show quite regularly. Start Brendan and the News.
You know, I know what the intro for this is.
Yep.
It's Raining Men. That's going to be the new... That's the intro for this...
You going to do it for me?
Yep, it's called It's Raining Men.
Nice.
It's Raining Men with Brendan Nelson.
We're going to follow Brendan Nelson and...
What are you calling it?
Start Brendan the News.
That's really bad.
He's leaving in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because Malcolm Turnbull's here and he's...
Not gonna stand for it.
Then there's Tony Abbott.
I'm not going to continue, Pete.
I am.
He's lurking in the shadows.
There we
He's
go.
Got no, a really sharp knife. Don't turn. Oh, Brendan. You're back.
Yeah, there we go. See, we can all do it.
Back to the walls, boys.
Yeah. Now, Brendan Nelson, of course, was elected by the what's left of the Liberal Party, which is not many.
Three members and a quokka, who apparently in Western Australia is in danger of being molested by football players.
By the Western Force. Mm. They're very true. They're damn
force. Can we say that the Liberal caucus or whatever, is actually, although we laugh about how small it is actually three times larger than the National
caucus. That's very true.
And actually 12 times larger than the Democrat caucus.
No, I was going to say 42 times larger than the Democrat caucus. But if you multiply 42 by 0, you still get 0.
When they voted in,
no, there's like
Mr. Who the fuck is he for leadership?
No. I want you to reverse that, because Warren Truss, the now new leader of the National...
He invented the Truss.
He did. No. He was on The Simpsons.
What?
There was an Australian political character on The Simpsons, and they took Warren Truss's name because they thought it was so f***ing funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, check it out. Type in Warren Truss and Simpsons, and you'll get it.
Shat me.
I know. It's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
So, did you see they got the Nationals all together
around the table
to vote the leader? There was 10 of them. It was just pathetic.
And one of them isn't even elected yet.
The scary thing is, it looked worse than the Democrats' campaign launch, which was like, 100 people in a community hall. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, it was very funny. Yeah.
So let's run through some facts about Brendan Nelson. Of course, Brendan Nelson is the former president of the Australian Medical Association. Mm-hmm. Was a member of the Labor Party for 20 years.
Yes.
Got caught on camera in about 1986 lying when he was yelling and screaming the phrase, "I have never voted Liberal. I will never vote Liberal. I will never, ever vote Liberal." I believe when questioned,
John Howard feel good.
Yeah, when questioned about this, that actually worked out that he'd voted Liberal that day.
Oops.
And had voted Liberal three times before that.
Ah, I see, yes.
So, how do you know, Pete? It's a secret vote.
No, he was actually asked this by, thank you very much. He was asked this by Barry Cassidy on The Insiders, and he certainly did not deny it. Because it's actually on the public record that he had lied about that.
There you go.
Brendan Nelson, of course, also was Minister for Education for a little while there.
What a crack-up job he did.
And of course,
did he vote Liberal while he was a member of the Labor Party?
He did indeed.
That's against the rules.
It's freaking treason.
It is treason. He should be dead now.
Well, I wouldn't say
that. He should be hanging from the light on the hill.
Yeah, he should be hanging from John Howard's limb.
I was going to say, he should be hanging from the light on the hill, John Howard's limb.
Yes, that's a good
metaphorically
point.
Metaphorically dead.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Not literally.
Hurry up, because I've got a segment to do as well.
Oh, sorry, okay, quickly. Brendan Nelson they've got a new site on the Labor site called Nelson Facts, which we'll pick some stuff out over the next couple of weeks. What's probably really interesting to point out about Brendan Nelson at the moment is that while Labor signed the Kyoto Protocol this week, Brendan Nelson in April this year made a comment saying that Australia has rightly refused to sign the Kyoto Protocol, but in addition to this, is it not time to consider the longer term most obvious power source, nuclear power? So
right.
he this week, of course, made a number
so
of...
So he's a scary man.
He's a little bit of a scary man. He also made some interesting notes this week and made Malcolm Turnbull his Shadow Treasurer.
Now, interesting. Oh, that's a stupid idea.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Well, it worked well for John, didn't it?
It did work. Fantastically for John.
Interestingly enough, he's not the toughest man currently in the Liberal leadership.
No.
That goes to Julie Bishop.
Yeah, she's
officially the toughest man in the Liberal leadership contender race thingy, and she has testicles the size of coconuts.
And you know this for a fact?
No, I'm just saying that when...
You went and saw her in Miss Riot X, didn't you?
Oh, was that her?
That was her.
Oh, right. I called her Pillow Pants. I had no idea who she was. Interestingly enough, she's there when Brendan gets asked the hard questions because he actually has no brain.
It was very interesting, and I saw this. He doesn't, actually. It was very interesting to see a photo. Someone asked him, so how do you feel now you've won? He won 45-43. How do you feel now that you're going to have Malcolm Turnbull like right behind you?
And his response was,
Julie Bishop walked up to him, put her arm around him, and said, "I'm right behind him."
That's right.
Now, which A is scary.
Uh huh.
B is really fucking scary. And C is
also in some ways it's very confusing.
It is kind of confusing. Yes.
And I think the
so you're Malcolm Turnbull.
I think also the scary thing as well is that... the uncomfortable thing for a Brendan Nelson at this point was feeling her erection push into his side. That's what was difficult.
And
that's
on that note, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the very final edition of Pole Smoking.
Dude. That is not an intro.
Oh, okay, come up with one yourself.
Come on, yeah, do it yourself.
No, it's your job. You're Mr. Audio Guru. Not.
Pole Smoking.
Right, okay. Well, the interesting Well, that's the thing. But,
no, they were ripped off. Someone miscounted.
Yes.
In Florida. What we need is a Supreme Court judge to come in and fix Florida.
Now, obviously the reason is because John Howard's a Nazi and we don't like Nazis in power. But the
let's be fair. We don't like Nazis in power.
We don't like Nazis?
Don't like Nazis at all. Parties. I've never liked Nazis. Particularly Patsy Bitsko. She never worked for me.
Patsy Bisco was awesome, man.
But...
well, she had to change her name, you know. She was Nazi Bitso.
Bitso.
Nazi Bitso.
That's a good name for a dog.
Lord,
yeah, Nazi Bisco. Nazi Bisco.
Yeah, you should have seen her first album. So, this is News Poll.
Stop yelling.
I'm trying to talk over this twerp.
Shut the frick up.
You mentioned that in the federal election held last Sunday, you voted for... whatever party you voted for, which of the following was a stronger influence on the way you voted? Which was a stronger influence on the way you voted?
Nazi Bitso.
No, it's not a question.
It's an answer, though.
This is basically saying...
it's a good answer.
People voted for the party they liked
in
56% of the cases.
What else did they do?
Well, who else would they vote for?
Because, no, or...
I voted for the party I hate.
Exactly right.
No.
Voting there.
No. I love John Howard. I hate Kevin Rudd. He's a git. I don't like his fucking hair. I hate his glasses. He's a Christian. I'm not going to vote for him.
That's exactly right. No, they could have voted Labour because they hated Liberals. No, I'm sending
them. I'm losing this plot.
Yeah, you follow me?
Yes.
Did you vote for Labour
because you hated...
you like Labour or hate Howard?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right? Yeah. Or the other way, did you vote Liberal because you're a fucking retard? Or are you just a fucking retard?
It's because...
John Howard has a polarising effect. It's his polarising effect, that's why.
You get polarising.
Well, this is saying
those,
that,
new polarising.
Oh, it's good.
Of the Labour supporters, 53% voted for the party they liked and against the party, and 40% against the party they didn't like.
Too complicated.
But how many
and
of these
61% said that they didn't understand the statistics.
Okay, that's a good
I'm not even going to go into... anyway, the point of this particular poll shows that it is bullshit that they got rid of the coalition because they've been in for too long.
That's true. No, I agree. Thank you. And that's a good myth to break down.
It's a good myth to break down.
It's
and
myth
I've done it with statistics. You'd be proud of that, Pete.
I am. I'm very proud of that. And Brendan Nelson, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Okay, this is a more interesting one. When did you finally decide which party you were going to vote for?
Or in your earring. Sorry, yes.
So how far out did you decide which party you were going to vote for?
1984.
I'm not asking you, Peter. I'm just saying. That's not when you were born.
No, but that's when I first decided to vote.
Oh, so you were undecided until you were early childhood years. You think, coalition might be a good option.
No, at that point I didn't give a...
You probably would have been smacked down at that point.
By my parents?
By
definitely,
parents, yes.
Definitely would have been.
Okay, so how many people decided on election day?
Yep.
Right? 5% of Labour and 7% of coalition.
So that was the 7 that went, oh, we really don't like John Howard, but we better stay with him.
And it goes even lower for 1 to 3 days before the election. It drops down to 3% and 4% of the voters.
Interesting.
And a week before, it drops down to 5 and 3%.
Which proved what we were saying, that the polls were actually accurate.
It's already been decided.
Yeah, because it was...
people have made up their mind weeks out.
They made up
their
mind months
out. The biggest percentage was more than 6 months prior to the election, which is obviously the people who are, you know, like you. You'd fucking vote for...
barnacled on.
You'd vote for a slug.
Ooh.
If it had a good policy.
Anthony Albanese or a slug?
But within the 6 months...
think about that question.
I'll
get back to you.
Within the 6 months was 14%,
yep,
pretty much on both, and in the month prior to the election, another 14%. Yep. So they were pretty much all decided before we even got into the last week of the polls.
Now, here's a question for you. I just want to just briefly ask.
Is it a serious one, or is it a joking one, or is it another sing-along?
It's a serious question. I could do it as a sing-along, though. Would Kim Beazley have got the same vote?
Well, you've got to ask that question, don't you?
I do.
It's not
of course he wouldn't have.
There we go. It's all
over. This next one is, would you say each of the following issues was very important, fairly important, or not important to you deciding who you voted for in the
John Howard
election?
Has bushy eyebrows. Very important.
So they're not John Howard, 100%.
So for Labor supporters, the highest issue was education, with 77% of Labor voters.
And then they put it in the same ministry as IR. Nice one.
Yes, exactly. In the coalition, it was obviously...
John Howard's eyebrows.
The economy and John Howard's eyebrows.
Yes.
81% of coalition supporters said the economy is the most important thing.
Idiots. Social policy at all.
The most interesting survey I read was that 80%. The reason why 80% of the Liberal voters jumped over from Liberal to Labor is they just hate fucking Peter Costello. Is that in your figures?
It is right down here, yeah. The interesting thing with the environment...
Mrs. Costello's pretty over it, too.
Yeah,
the environment... 70% of Labor voters said the environment was important, whereas 43% of the coalition said that the environment was important, and they would do everything they
could. Climate change is a myth, Richard. I wish you'd stop talking about this on air, because I'm tired of people making climate change a bit. It's a myth.
And the least important issue for Labor voters was national security.
Yep.
National security at 33%. And for coalition supporters, the lowest was...
The poor.
work choices and industrial relations.
Yeah, surprisingly enough.
God.
Yes. And welfare and social issues on 37%.
See, was I wrong? Yeah. Negatory.
Now, we should actually point out, by the way, that... No, I won't leave that.
Okay, who do you think would make the better Prime Minister?
I can sing
me.
It,
91% of Labor supporters said Kevin Rudd.
Of course.
Who else did they say?
1% said Brendan Nelson.
1%! He sat there going, yes, yes.
And of the interesting
only 49
thing,
more to go.
The coalition supporters said 27% Mr. Rudd and Mr. Oh, I've got all my good ones to come. Leadership of the Liberal Party out of the five people, obviously Malcolm Turnbull was the highest, 37% of Labor supporters, 35% of coalition, whereas Brendan Nelson was 12% of Labor supporters, 29% of coalition. This is the Galaxy poll. They haven't been publishing...
Galaxy sucks, they got it wrong.
They haven't released a poll for 3 months on their public website, except today. They announced that they had successfully predicted the federal election to within... a couple of percentage points, and that they were therefore the most accurate poll in this country.
Nice.
Now, of course, considering
this is on the back of the
considering the Galaxy poll, three days out from the election, said it was going to be a Liberal victory.
Yep.
This is kind of a problem.
Yes, exactly. Especially when you consider pair all the figures and you find out that they're actually third.
Yep, most accurate, of course, was as always
me,
you. Yes.
And in the final poll, the news poll one, was that who do you think will win the election, of which 99% said Kevin Rudd?
And that was taken on
the day after the election.
It was John Howard actually was involved.
It was John Howard, I think Alexander Downer was in there.
You know what the question they didn't ask? So how many of you are currently being polled at the moment? Now that's a figure I'd like to see.
Yeah, they asked Brendan Nelson.
Well, you'd have to ask the... definition.
You would. We'll be back next week. Go to our website. Yeah, you can. www.walkbackforest.org. Not here next week. We have a Facebook group, so if you're on Facebook, go to Walking Back Forest.
Oh, I'm not here next week either.
Oh, I'm going to be here by myself.
That'd be awesome.
Oh. Bye.
Now, about that slug.